Sleep is for the weak. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Why? Because I've got a dream that's worth more than my sleep. And these are the types of sayings that we hear in our society when it comes to one of the most fundamental needs of the human body. And while it may sound tough to say things like that, the reality is that recent research in areas like endocrinology, the study of the hormonal system, and neuroscience, the study of the human brain, have clearly shown that sleep is an integral part of feeling and performing our best. Whether you want to be at the top of your game in your business or your career, or whether you're looking for better gains in the gym, sleep is critical to making those things happen for you. And that's why I'm really excited for today's guest. His name is Sean Stevenson. He's a friend of mine, and he's literally the guy who wrote the book on sleep. The name of his new book is Sleep Smarter, 21 Essential Strategies to Sleep Your Way to a Better Body, Better Health, and Bigger Success. And what I love about Sean, besides the fact that he's a really cool, generous, awesome guy, is that he is a wealth of information when it comes to sleep. Not just the how and what we should be doing, but you're also going to understand the why. What are the reasons? Why is it important? Tell me why. I don't know about you, but I need to know why. It's not enough for someone to tell me how or what to do because I don't believe them. I need to understand that they understand all the details of what they're talking about, and Sean is that guy. So get ready to listen, learn, and apply with Sean Stevenson. Sean Stevenson, welcome back to the Legendary Life Podcast, man.
Man, it's so good to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we connected in 2014. The podcast had a different name. But for those of you who don't know Sean, Sean is a buddy of mine. He's the host of the Model Health Show. He's here to talk to us today about sleep. He had a book called Sleep Smarter in 2014, but he's coming out with something next level. He's got Sleep Smarter 2.0, 21 Essential Strategies to Sleep Your Way to a Better Body, Better Health, and Bigger Success. And as you've been listening to this podcast, you know I talk about sleep. Sean's one of the guys who started that for me, started looking into sleep as something that was essential and missing from a holistic health approach. And we've had great guests like Dr. Kirk Parsley and MIT neuroscientist Tara Swart. But Sean is the guy who's written the book on sleep. So excited to catch up with you, man. It's been a long time. Thank you for being here.
Man, I appreciate it. And I love the growth. Both of us are seeing it in each other's lives, man. And it's so great to connect with you again, man. You're one of my favorite people doing it. And yeah, man, it was a pretty interesting process because that book, Sleep Smarter, it was the number one bestseller for over a year. It was number one on at least one health list on Amazon. And so that garnered a lot of attention from major publishers. And so we had a little fight going on with the publishers battling it out to get their hands on me. And so ultimately, I went with Rodale, who they are the wellness brand in books, you know. And so, you know, they also run Men's Health Magazine, Women's Health Magazine, Prevention, Runners Magazine. But they've got some monster New York Times bestsellers like Wheat Belly and Eat This, Not That. And so I was so, like, I knew it was the moment that I went there that was the house that I wanted to be in. And but also they saw my vision, which is I want to flesh out my ideas and to actually share every single bit of knowledge that I've accumulated in my clinical practice and then having the opportunity over the past 2 years to get out and to speak across the country, to meet people, to hear the stories and to radically upgrade this book to make it so fun, so tangible, so easy to implement that it's just absurd. And you know, a big part of why we do what we do, and you said the same thing, like you've really shifted your focus there, is because it gets results. But we can't really wrap our minds around that, especially as guys a lot of time, because you're not doing anything. Like we always like, I got to work out harder. I got to cut more calories. Well, in actuality, I just talked with Mike Dolce yesterday. And sure, so he's sure. MMA trainer of the year, 3 years in a row, Ronda Rousey's nutrition trainer, just so many of the top champions, man. He's the guy. you know, and he was just sharing with me how much Sleep Smarter, or just that information, has impacted him. You know, he listens to my show, which is incredible. I listen to his show. But he shared with me this thing. You know, he actually is the guy behind UFC Fit. And he went in and he had to get kind of camera ready to do this whole video shoot thing. So he was working, and getting from 10% to 8% body fat wasn't that difficult with the nutrition and the exercise. But once you get to 8, getting to 6 is like, it was tough. So he couldn't get it to budge until he added more sleep to his training program, right? And he went from 8% down to 5.5-6% body fat, simply not from training more, not from changing his diet, but just from getting more sleep. And for everybody too, I want to just share this really quick study. There's so many that I couldn't put it all into the book, but this one just is right there, clear cut, black and white. And anybody can go to Dr. Google and check this stuff out. So University of Chicago did a really great study. And basically they had people get on they're on the same exact diet plan, and they had them asleep for 8.5 hours throughout the course of this study. And then what they found was that when they get into the second phase of the study and they sleep deprived them for 5.5 hours a night is the amount of sleep they got. And exact same diet, though, what happened was when they slept for 8.5 hours, they actually lost 55% more body fat, all right, than when they slept for 5.5 hours. So I hope that makes sense. The first part of the study, same diet, 5.5 hours of sleep. Then the second part is they got more sleep and they end up losing 55% more body fat. I might have switched that around, but bottom line is sleep is what is so transformational for our body, for our brains, for so many factors in our life. And we could talk about any and all that stuff today, man.
Oh, absolutely. And we will. But Sean, I want to get into your story, because a lot of people, maybe they heard your episode from 2 years ago, but I kind of wasn't such a great interviewer then. So I really want to redo that. I want another shot at this. Right. I want to get into your story. I think it's a fascinating story as well. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about, you just gave a great example of the power of sleep. Yeah. But let's talk about, like, why is sleep so important now? Because I'll tell you, I've been in the fitness industry for 17 years. I remember doing Paul Check's holistic and lifestyle like course, where he was talking all about hormones, your HPA axis, and all this other stuff, and organic food, and all this other stuff. Not one thing about sleep. Not one thing. And that's not to knock Paul, but that's to say, like, it just was something that, oh, well, you gotta sleep. Right. But nobody was talking about it, and nobody talks about it the way you do. What is the deal? Why is it so popular to talk about right now?
Oh, man. Really, because we've exhausted all other possibilities. You know, we've gone to the moon and back with exercise programs. Like, there is nothing new under the sun, straight up. It's just tweaking and changing the same old stuff that we've been doing. The same thing with nutrition. Humans have tried to eat everything, especially the last few decades. We've gone through a massive overhaul. And, you know, going from the vast majority of us eating processed foods and not thinking of it to this whole new enlightenment happening with nutrition and this. I mean, have you been to a Whole Foods parking lot, man? It's ridiculous.
Like, crazy. I don't even go around noontime. Can't even get in here in Miami Beach. Yeah.
And it's happening across the country, across the world. More people are aware of this part. However, we've kind of missed the mark because, again, we're really program, because in our society, you know, I was talking with Gary Vaynerchuk, for example. He's like the king of the hustle. Like, you attribute immediately crushing it, hustle your face off when you think of him. But he told me, like, he's playing the long game now, you know, and he's like, I'm getting my sleep, man, for sure. And he's hired a trainer that he brings with him all the time. And he's like, I've got to take care of my health too, you know. And so he understands that there's this really crazy thing in our culture that it's like, if you're not working hard and beating yourself to the ground, then you're not doing anything, you know? And there's a part of that that is true, for sure. Like, you've got to work hard. You've got to hustle if you want to achieve massive success, for sure. However, sleep is so interesting because you get all of this benefit by doing nothing, you know? So for our modern minds to process that, and as much distraction as we have, it's pretty difficult, you know? And so this is why it's going on and why it's become more popular, is that people are realizing, like, wow, I'm not getting the results that I could be getting because of this thing. And so why it matters now and why it matters so much, period, is really a simple principle, is that sleep is known as the anabolic state, right? Being awake is catabolic, period. Even if you're just sitting there picking food out of your teeth, like, it's catabolic. You're breaking down rapidly. Sleep is known as the anabolic state. This is when you're producing the vast majority of your anabolic hormones, namely HGH, you know, human growth hormone, and testosterone, melatonin, all these things that help to rebuild you and rejuvenate you. And you need both. It's not that catabolic part is bad. You need something to recover from to come back better. But if you're missing out on this stage right here, you're missing all of this anabolic development. And it's really the secret sauce, you know, what is what I refer to it as. You know, it's exponentially, basically it's a force multiplier. Everything in your life gets exponentially better when you get great sleep. Your relationships are better. Your attitude is better. Your energy is better. Your physical appearance is better. We know this stuff even from one night of crappy sleep. You start looking like, you know, like your character from Twilight, you know, like you start looking a little bit suspicious, you know, and then carry that out over a period of time, man, and it can get pretty messed up. And so, but on the other end, it's like it's exponentially, it's a force multiplier in the opposite direction. So if you're not getting the optimal sleep, everything in your life is going to suck a little bit more to a lot more, from your appearance to your brain function, your memory, your energy levels, your ability to defend yourself against disease, you know, and I really dive into that deeply in the book as well. But that's really what it's about, man. It's such a powerful thing. And I've built my practice over the years, clinical nutritionist, right? Helping people, studying nutrigenomics and how your food even impacts your genes, like this deep, powerful level. I know the power of food, but nothing is more powerful than the sleep that we get. It is the most powerful factor in our life. And it's so important, natural to us. It's built into our DNA. It's built into our genes. But we've become so unnatural. You know, we've broken this intimate code, this intimate relationship with sleep because of all these little silly things that we do. But that's really what the work is about, man, is 21 strategies. What are the simple, easy things that you can implement tonight and get better sleep today so that you can get better sleep and wake up and be a better person the next day?
Yeah, I love that, man. And it's counterintuitive too, right? Like you mentioned, we live in this world where, in the modern world at least, where it's all about production. It's all about trading hours for dollars. And if you have so many things to do, where do you cut back? Sleep. It makes sense. And at least from that mentality, to you and I, we know better. But it's so hard for someone to grasp, like, oh no, you know, time is money. Time is money. If I'm asleep, I'm not. I even have a friend of mine who's like, oh, only dreams come when you sleep. I'm like, dude, I love you, man. But, you know, he's like a bodyguard. He stays up for you know, not days on end, but gets very little sleep sometimes. You know, I have a story with sleep and how I went down all those roads with trying different ways of eating and trying different workouts. And it wasn't until I found sleep, I started learning from you and some of the other great experts out there that, you know, I kind of got it, but you helped dial in not just the science, but actually what to do as well. And you have a story, and I just got your book recently. I haven't read all of it, but I've read that story, man. And I want people to hear it again because it's such a powerful story. So let's get into that, and we'll get into the essential strategies afterward.
All right, man. Sure thing. So I probably when we were on, I didn't share this initial piece because it took a while for me to really connect into, you know, a really important part about communication is you simply doing the thing and sharing, getting it out of your system, because I knew it in my head, but I just wasn't sharing this important factor, which is a lot of times you get a preview of what's to come, you know, like your body is going to give you feedback of what's in line for you if you keep doing what you're doing. And so for me and my son right now, he's about to, he's in high school, he's a freshman, and he's going to the same high school that I went to, and it's baseball and track season. And I love baseball, but I absolutely love track. So that's what I went for. And I was 15 years old when I was a sophomore. And prior to that season, football is in the fall. So I'm 15 years old. We do our 40 times. I ran a 4:5:40 when I was 15 years old, man. which is pretty crazy, you know? And so I was a speedster, returning punts, returning kicks, running back, all that good stuff. And I had a lot of stuff going for me very early on in high school, but things changed very quickly. When it came to be track season, I was doing a 200 meter time trial with my coach. And when I was coming off the curve and into the straightaway, my hip broke. All right. I'm just running and my hip fractured. I didn't get hit. There was no linebacker tackling me. You know, it was just from running. And I went to my physician eventually because, you know, a guy, like, I even came to practice the next day. I just thought I pulled a muscle or something. Wow. And it wasn't until, like, my coach was like, no, you need to go get checked out. And so he puts the scan up and there's the iliac crest. So, like, the top of my hip bone was just, like, floating off in space, whoa, not connected to my body. And he's like, oh, there's the problem. And I'm just like, okay, there's the problem. Like, what do we need to do to fix it? And he gave me a standard of treatment, which is ultrasound. We did some muscle stim. We did some anti-inflammatories, you know, some NSAIDs. We did, he gave me some crutches, which was pretty awesome because I got to get out of class early and take the elevator and all this stuff. But, and also when you're 15, you got the hormones of a mythical beast for real, you know? So you've got a lot in your favor to repair. And so I got better. But the issue is nobody stopped to ask, how did this 15-year-old kid's hip break just from running? That's usually reserved for people who are much older. And the common thinking is that, you know, people fall and break their hip, but that's not what happens. Many times people break their hip and then they fall. And that was a warning sign for me because ultimately, and that led to a string of injuries, just like a dozen more injuries. My football career, gone. Track, right, gone, you know? And I go up to my son's school now and I see the people that I was ridiculously faster than up on the board in their school records, man. And it's just like, oh man, it hits me in the heart. You know, I'm still a guy and I'm still, you know, I still have my pride, but at the same time, I am so grateful, man. I am so grateful that my life turned out the way that it did and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Ultimately, kind of the low point was when I was 20 years old, I finally get diagnosed with degenerative bone disease and a degenerative disc disease. So the disc in between the vertebrae and my back were just rapidly deteriorating. And when I go to my physician this time and he puts the MRI up for me to see, and first of all, I'm like, why am I getting an MRI of my back? Because my leg was hurting is what brought me in, because I had no understanding of the connection of your body. Like, what's going on in your toe right now is affecting what's happening in your eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are connections throughout your entire system. And I bet you when I said that about toes, everybody thought about their toes, didn't you? You know? And so that's the power of influence as well. And he gave me a very powerful influence as to what was not possible. All right. He told me that there was nothing I can do about this. Ugh. He told me that this is something I'm going to have to deal with. He told me that I had the spine of an 80-year-old person and he was sorry. And when I asked him, and like, this is crazy, man, but I asked him, does this have anything to do with what I'm eating? Even though I knew nothing about food, knew nothing, right, about even it mattered, but like some kind of weird, I don't know, cosmic whatever, you know, I'm not all, you know, and I'm not with the unicorn thing. If you are, shout out to you. I respect you. But I'm a very analytical person. But for some reason, this like moment happened and I asked him, does this have anything? And this is exactly what I said. Does this have anything to do with what I'm eating? You see, it's kind of hard to even say it, man. Like, does this have anything to do with what I'm eating? Should I change the way I'm exercising? You know, and he just like looked at me like I was from another planet, kind of shaking his head. Like, you're not hearing me. This has nothing to do with what you're eating. I'm sorry. But then he wrote me a prescription to eat some drugs.
Right.
Even though he said that it's not what I'm eating, right?
Yeah.
And so the power of influence, man, it really, it sunk in. It's called a nocebo effect. It's giving someone a negative injunction that something is going to happen versus a placebo effect, which tends to have a positive influence on the person, believing that a drug is going to help to heal them, for example. So a nocebo effect is a negative version of a placebo effect. And so I began to break down, man, over the course of the next 2 years. I gained 50 pounds. The pain was so bad. I was on medication every day, all day. I couldn't sleep. The biggest struggle was at night trying to go to sleep on my pillow, man, tossing and turning. I developed restless legs, you know, which wasn't even a thing then. Now it's popular and they got a right, medication for it. But I was like, my legs wouldn't stop being active. And it's just like, come to find out, though, this is from a medication I was taking. I didn't find this out until I became, you know, this person who's into the sleep research. And it's like, I was on that drug. And like the number one,
wow,
side effect was restless legs. But anyways, man, so things weren't looking good, man. I was still in college at the time. I started with a 15-hour credit load, and I kept dropping down to 3 or 6. I was embarrassed. I was wearing a back brace. It was very tough from coming from being this top level athlete and like this cool guy at school to being nothing, you know, in my opinion. Like, I didn't matter anymore. My life didn't matter. I didn't have value anymore. And so it wasn't until that happened when, after seeing 4 different physicians, ultimately 5 total, and them telling me the same thing, you know, that there's nothing we can do. We're sorry. It usually doesn't happen to kids this young. I'm sorry. And I had a decision that I had to make, man. It was either I believe them and basically chalk it up as my life is just going to be dark for the rest of my life, or what I did ultimately, and again, it was a choice that I had to make. I decided that I was going to get well. And most people never do that. It's mostly like, you know what, Ted, I'll give that a try. I hope this works. Or, you know what, I really wish that this would work. That's not evoking the power that we have, you know? Like, all of us have this really inherent ability, this power to change our life, like, instantly. But most of the time, we're just kind of pussyfooting around the subject and not making a decision and not really exercising that power that we have. And so, excuse me there from, you know, but it's so simple that we overlook it. And so I made the decision that no matter what, and that's another thing, no matter what, stuff is going to happen. I'm going to get well. I don't care what they say. They don't have the last word about me. And so I stopped putting blame on everybody else. I stopped pointing fingers. I stopped putting all my hopes into somebody else coming to help me. And I decided that I'm going to get well. And fortunately, I was still in school at the time. And initially, you know, when I first went to college, I was like, okay, I'm going to be a doctor, right? And so looking at this pre-med track, right? And all of the upperclassmen, I'm telling you, man, it creeped me out. They were fascinated and just like obsessed with symptoms and diagnosing themselves. And it just creeped me out. Just like,
yeah.
They're like, I know I have this. Like, I know that I've got like, I've got testicular alien, whatever. You know, like all this crazy stuff that they would come up with. And it really turned me off, and I got out of that field, man. So for those couple of years in between going to college and when this kind of transformation took place, I was studying like business or something, finance. It didn't really matter. I saw Eddie Murphy Boomerang, and I was like, okay, I'll do marketing, right? So, you know, I didn't really have any guidance when I was in school. But at this point, I had this foundation, and I remembered, like, wait a minute, the people who were studying health, they were focused on problems. So I made a decision that I'm going to study health full out. I'm going to study everything that helps to create a healthy, sovereign human being, all the way down to what my atoms are doing. And it wasn't like, you know, again, the unicorns came out, the clouds parted, and a magic genie came out. It was, I put a plan together, and that entailed 3 specific things. Number one was I changed the way I was eating. Contrary to Doc fill in the blanks idea that this didn't matter, it did matter. Everything you put into your body matters. And I realized that, like, wait, these drugs, like, everything I'm putting in here matters. Why would this not matter? And I was on the college diet at the time, so I'm eating, like, Papa John's.
Papa John's,
every
yep.
every day, man. Yeah. Papa John's special, because of my university, was only $5, too. So just, you know, the McDonald's, the Jack in the Box, like, this is what my diet was, man. Like, a vegetable barely crossed thine lips. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I want to bring the Shakespeare angle, you know, like, it did not get into my system, man. And so I changed the way that I was eating. And so this is about a decade and a half ago at this point, almost. And Whole Foods, I'm in the Midwest, so everything is kind of late getting here. So Whole Foods had just opened. And what I did was I started to, and I was dating this girl. Even though I was wearing this back brace, I was still, you know.
Still had some game, yeah.
Still doing my thing, you know. This amazing woman who I was dating, she had already graduated. She's a chiropractor, you know. And so she took me to Wild Oats. And I'm just like, what is this place? You know, it's just amazing. And this is after I'd already made a lot of changes. Because I was you know, buying stuff that was organic, you know, from like local grocery stores and stuff like that. I didn't know there were whole stores like that. And so eventually I went to Whole Foods. And so what I was getting, instead of fast food burger and fries, I'd get grass-fed beef and like a sprouted bun and like some organic oven fries and just a crazy absurd amount of green vegetables, namely broccoli, because that's really the only one I would eat. And the rest of them I would, you know, like I started juicing and making smoothies because my palate wasn't set for that bitterness yet.
Yeah.
So when you start delivering, food isn't just food, it's information. So it started to change the data that my cells were getting. So that was phase number one. I changed the way that I was eating. And by the way, I know that there are people listening right now that they're like, oh my God, that's the same issue that I have right now, the degenerative spinal condition. And my doctor told me there's nothing I could do about this. That's old news.
There's nothing he can do about it because he's got a toolbox with some drugs and, you know, a scalpel and some other things.
Right, exactly. You know, the cut, burn, poison paradigm. We're equipping you here like on that. Ted's show with the superhero utility belt. You know, you're getting your like Batman on. You've got all kinds of things that you can use to bring to the situation to accomplish the mission, you know. And so it starts by asking this really important, profound question. What is my spine actually made of? All right. What are my bones actually made of? If it's a degeneration of your bones, if it's the meniscus issue, you know, like somebody's got chronically, like their meniscus is broken down, deteriorating, and they're telling you, I've got bone on bone.
Yep.
What is that tissue made of? Ask that question first. You know, it's really in the question that you ask. And then you start to find out, if you research and you study and you look, you're going to start to find out it's things like sulfur-bearing amino acids and polysaccharides and vitamin C, which vitamin C is critical for regenerating tissues, collagen. And you start finding out all these strange things that you might not have heard before, or sometimes you have, but how are you getting them to your body? Because your body, many of these things can't, like vitamin C. Some other animals actually produce vitamin C. It's an essential nutrient for us because we can't produce it within ourselves. So we need to get it from our food, not from a supplement. Supplements are awesome as a supplement, you know what I'm saying? But it doesn't replace getting it from stuff that your genes actually can recognize, your DNA recognize. So when I start to ask those questions and I found out my bones weren't, it was in calcium, you know, like because the marketing and the milk mustache, there's like 200 other compounds that were equally as important that I wasn't getting any of that on my college diet, or call it the tough diet, typical university food. You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
So
yeah.
That on that diet, I wasn't getting any of that stuff, man. I was maybe some like fortified vitamin C in my Sunny Delight I was drinking every morning, you know?
Sunny D. Garbage. I remember that.
Garbage, but the commercials, man.
The commercials.
They
right?
open the refrigerator, the sun shines out, right?
Yeah.
And so, so I just started to just immerse myself and just flood my tissues with all of this powerful nutrition. So that's part one. Part two, funny enough, the lowest hanging fruit. Every physician, first thing they did after their assessment of me is put me on bed rest. All right. They told me to stop doing things, all right? Every one of them. Some of them, you know, I walked out with a back brace, you know, two times out of the, you know, four or five guys that I saw. The problem with that is that your body requires movement in order to heal itself, right? Your tissues will atrophy if you're not moving. This is obvious. Now, there's two things here, and I didn't really get this until maybe about a year ago, like, don't they know that? I mean, there's also, you got to think about
what happens to astronauts in space, right?
Yeah, it's very obvious. But here's the thing that I realized, Ted, is that there's also the liability factor.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're recommending, hey, you should start doing CrossFit and I got a back problem, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like most of the time they're dealing with people who they're just trying to make sure that these people don't kill themselves, you know, like with their lifestyle. So they're giving them things to treat their symptoms. And this is what they're also taught as well. I mean, I've got so many amazing physicians in my life who are just doing incredible work. And over the years, I mean, so many physicians who maybe they're kind of just been on the wrong track and they're treating a lot of symptom-based medication, you know, I mean, of treatment. But it's because of the way the system is built. These are incredibly kind, loving, smart people for the most part. I mean, dramatically. I mean, you can't go to medical school and graduate if you're not like genius level talent and also hard work. But the issue is that when you teach a very, very smart person the wrong thing,
right,
they become world class at doing the wrong thing. I mean, they are like ninja. They are phenomenal at giving chemotherapy. right? And so it's just understanding that paradigm and getting that piece, like the liability, but also the lack of understanding of how important movement is, even for, and I came across a study early on of assimilation. Like, even if you're eating the best diet right now, you're not assimilating a lot of those nutrients if you're not moving. You know, your tissues, your cells require movement in order to assimilate, digest, and eliminate from all that great food that you're eating. So that was brought into the fold, man. And I started where I could. You know, at first, it was difficult for me to even walk, you know. And so I started off on a stationary bike, just doing something. The next week, I started walking. The next week after that, hopped on the elliptical machine and started, you know, playing around with the weights a little bit. The week after that, I got a little bit more serious about the weights. 6 weeks after making that decision, I lost 28 pounds. And the pain, I don't know when it happened. It might have been week three. It might have been week five. But the pain was gone that I had been experiencing every single day for 2.5 years. It was gone. It was like it was never there. And I'll cut to the end of that piece, which is 9 months later, I got a scan done. And funny enough, you know, I'm standing there with the physician and he's looking at it and his hand is on his chin like this. And he's just like, oh, eventually it seemed like it was a long time.
It's a miracle.
He's like, whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Wow.
I hadn't seen this kind of regeneration before.
He had so not.
That's what he told me.
You Why know, didn't he hire you, Sean? No, you weren't doing it then, but he should have asked. You would think like, what are you doing?
What do you even get into? I didn't want to, honestly, man, to be, I was a different person then, and I didn't want to talk to him. I just went in there for affirmation for myself, and I even battled myself to go and do that. I knew that I was well, but sometimes we got to, you know, get that external feedback, but I didn't need to do that, but I kind of needed to do that. And so I just wanted to get the okay, and then I walk out of there. And so I actually had lost at that point about 3/4 inch in my height before this happened, right? So almost a full inch of my height was gone from high school to the disease diagnosis. I regrew half of an inch, you know, and so this is after I'm 22 and a half at this point. How did that happen?
Sure.
And the juiciness was returned to my vertebrae. I mean, the disc in between my spine. I also had two herniated discs that retracted on their own, right? All of this happened by itself, seemingly. But here's the thing, the big takeaway is your body knows what to do already. You know, we just oftentimes need to create the conditions for it to do its job. And so the nutrition was huge. The movement was huge. And that final component, which at the time I didn't understand how powerful it was. You're not healing if you're not sleeping.
So just straight up, you're not healing if you're not sleeping. I like that.
And it was there on that time, you know, I went from tossing and turning every night, dropping Tylenol PM like I was getting paid for it, you know, and also the medication throughout the day, you know, the Celebrex and things like that. And going from that to with no medication and sleeping just incredible, man. Like, first of all, the stuff I was doing during the day, which we'll talk about today, a great night of sleep starts the moment that you wake up in the morning. All right, remember that quote. We're going to come back to that. And so the things that I was doing during the day automatically transitioned and catered to phenomenal sleep at night. So I was waking up. I was going to bed earlier because I was actually tired from doing stuff in my life again. I was getting up early and I was excited about life, man. I didn't just get my life back. I got a better life. And that sleep really, it accelerated the process, which I didn't really get then. You know, so right around the 2 week mark, I started sleeping through the night and everything just took off. And so that component and the anabolic hormones that are produced, the reparative enzymes, all that stuff, the change physically happened largely while I was asleep, even for my new exercise program. And so that's really what it was, man. And to put the bow on this story, people at my university saw this trans. I didn't look like a guy who lost weight. I looked like a guy who was like ridiculously healthy and radiant. Like, I was glowing and I was like this pale, you know, Twilight ghost, team Edward, right? I was like, whatever is that? I hope that's the right one.
I think so. Yeah. It's all so good. We know what you mean. Sure.
Diamond skin, whatever. You know, so I was, you know, now I'm glowing and I'm healthy. And I remember walking out of one of my classes and the teacher stopped me. He said this. He was like, what happened to you? You look so healthy. Like,
wow.
And I'm like, that's like, is it a problem? You know, he ended up being a client, you know, like, so I got certified strength and conditioning coach. shifted all my coursework over to biology and kinesiology and just started studying that really mainly externally from school, because I tell people I learned 0.5% of what I know in university, because it's just, it's not there. It doesn't relate to your life. Even in my biology classes, it didn't relate to me. It didn't connect. You know, I'm like studying what bears are doing in the ecosystem, you know, instead of
ecology. Yeah, that people don't realize it's good to learn the nuts and the bolts of chemistry, the cells, all the hierarchy of tissues and all that. But I even remember, because I went back to school in my, like, closer to 30, and in my nutrition class, they were like, they had some very controversial, it was more like opinion than it was real science. And now I'm sure it's changed, but like you said, and I'll tell you, man, thank you so much for sharing that story again, because it hit me right here. I got goosebumps when you were talking about what you went through. And there are so many people listening right now who have gone through something like that with their doctor. I have, my dad has, and they don't have the answer. And we're in this weird time where we need to look outside of that. So thank you so much. Because you're, even though you had big hopes for being an athlete, football player, track star, whatever it was, world's better off with you being Sean Stevenson, the Model Health Show.
Thank you,
right?
Man.
The Model Health
Guy. I
got to
clap for that, man. Thank you.
It is, because you are reaching so many people, and you're doing it in a way that a lot of this, the more academic people, they don't connect. But you're connecting, you're making a difference, and you're getting people to change their behavior. And that's the missing thing. So thank you so much for being you. Thanks for sharing that story. Now, let's get to sleep. I think you already talked about a study where people were doing exercise and eating, but they changed their sleep.
Right.
And they lost, the people who slept more lost more weight. Let's dive into that a little bit more. So for the people who are listening right now who are struggling to lose fat and they're trying to cut their calories or eat paleo or ketogenic or, you know, and they're trying the high intensity interval training and they're just not getting the results. Please elaborate on what they need to, how they need to think about it, what they need to do.
Sure, man. So, you know, the tail end of my story, it evolved itself into, you know, opening a clinical practice, working with thousands of people and having that database. And also for a nice chunk of time, I worked at a university. So I got to work with people from all over the world and see that there was these consistent things, consistent patterns that humans brought on, especially when they got into our culture, you know, and just how their health would change so dramatically. And eventually, you know, that led to, you know, speaking and the show and all that kind of stuff and the book.
Your TEDx talk.
Yeah.
Which was awesome on chocolate. I still remember it, man. That was.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, bro. You know, that was a crazy time. And that was a catalyst for the podcast actually starting at that TED talk. So having that database of people and seeing the transformation that could take place with changing someone's sleep has just been remarkable, you know. And so, what's going on with the physical transformation, fat loss? There's so many pieces here. The most fundamental understanding you have to get first when we're talking about physical change is that hormones are the name of the game, all right? Hormones are what are really determining what information all your cells are getting. So the essence of all of this lies in how do we optimize our hormone function? All right. So, and how does sleep relate to this? It's, again, it's the most powerful influence of what our hormones are doing. More powerful than food, more powerful than exercise by far. And so, number one, human growth hormone. I mentioned this earlier. So it's produced largely by your pituitary gland, right? So this is at the base of your brain and it secretes this. It does a little skeet of HGH every so often throughout the day. But the vast majority of that is produced in the first phase of sleep, namely if you're sleeping at the right time, all right? So you can actually vary or increase the amount of HGH you produce if you're sleeping at a certain time, because humans, and this is all deeply understood and is right there in the research if you know where to look, we all have hormone cycles. Every one of us, like guys, we don't even think about that for ourselves, but we absolutely do. And a lot of ladies listening, they're like, yeah, we know you guys have hormone disturbances too, you know? And so we all have a hormone rhythm. There's certain times of the day that your body is evolved. You know, if you look at evolutionary biology to do certain processes, when in the morning, you should have a bowel movement. You know, you should feel the urge, the peristalsis to go poop. In the evening, that essentially that part of your body shuts down as far as that vibration of those muscles. Human growth hormone, if you're asleep between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., that is the greatest anabolic window right there. If you're asleep during that time period, according to the research, man, you're going to produce more human growth hormone. And this is what we call money time sleep.
Let me interject there for a second, Sean, because you said asleep from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., not in bed reading a book or watching TV.
Right.
Right. Yes, so exactly. Asleep.
Yes. If you're sleeping during that time period, because through our evolution, this is when humans would normally be asleep. All right. And it's because after it gets dark, we've only been able to manipulate light into, you know, basically manufacture a second daytime for like 100 years. That's it. And in the book of humanity, that's like one page in a million page book. All right. So it's not that long that we've had access to do what we're doing. And so, and also humans are not nocturnal creatures, you know? So when it's dark outside, we have to take shelter because you can't see that lion, that mountain lion. He can see you though, you know, and even our sense of hearing, all of that stuff, unless you're Daredevil, you know, shout out to Daredevil. Yeah.
He can hear great series. But don't let it keep you up at night, but
put it in its proper place. You know, we got to talk about that too, but it's really about understanding, yeah, we are genetically designed to be up and to be active during the day. And so just basically we'll say a couple hours after it gets dark outside, you should be asleep, ideally. You don't have to, and we've got hacks for that. And that's really what the book is about, is because you don't have to do all of this stuff. If you call yourself a night owl and you like to get work done, then I'm going to teach you how to do that better so that your sleep is still optimized. But if you really want to be like, get the sleep black belt, like the double black belt, those people who have like beyond the black belt, whatever that is, Steven Seagal, whatever, you know, man, that guy runs so funny every time I think about it. Anyways, man,
Steven Seagal for another show, right? Arms,
man. So if you're like wanted to get your sleep black belt, then between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., you're going to get the greatest amount of human growth hormone production. Melatonin is going to be at its peak as well. And you're probably going to have some nice benefit with your testosterone. All right. So just sleeping in that anabolic window can help a lot with our results. So that's one thing. Now, I got to mention this as well. So when it comes to the physical transformation, those hormones are important. HGH. So when you hear HGH, what do you think of, man?
Human growth hormone. I think of, it's a little bit different. I'm in Miami. What's that?
What about Sports Center? Oh, yeah. Go ahead. What are you about to say?
I think of a lot of guys who I know who drink a lot of alcohol, snort cocaine, and smoke cigarettes and take HGH injections to make them way more ripped than I look.
There you go. You just said it, man. It's hacking the system, right? So, by the way, little sidebar, a lot of the, not a lot, but many of the products out there that are basically deriving HGH, where is it coming from? It's actually coming from colostrum a lot of times. All right,
interesting.
Little sidebar. I'll just throw that out there. But anyways,
is that something you recommend? I got to have you back on to talk about nutrition. We'll do that at another time.
We could go down a whole road with that one, man.
Yeah.
So just understand that I think about Jason Giambi. I think of Marion Jones. I think of, you know, Mark McGuire. I'm in St. Louis. So, you know, it's just like, he's way bigger, you know, in his 30s. Like, you know, what did he do? He looks like twice the man. And but it's not about, it doesn't make you more muscular. It makes you recover faster. And so you can work out more and beat yourself down and create all of this growth and recovery a lot faster than the average person, right? So, but you can actually endogenously produce a lot more HGH if you're getting optimal sleep. So human growth hormone, also you're gonna get with your sleep, it's very difficult, man, if you're trying to diet and you're hungry all the time. Right. If you're trying to eat right and you're hungry and you walk by like the bowl of Snickers, bite size, whatever, I'll just go ahead and have one or two, you know, and you don't think anything of it. Like I earned it. Right. And normally, under normal circumstances, you probably wouldn't do that because, you know, it's like, man, it's still a Snickers. Like, it's like genetically altered deer sperm or something. I don't know, man.
Get to me at Whole Foods. Yeah. Not that crap.
There's something, you know, but it becomes very difficult to do this. And it's because Stanford University researchers found out that when you're sleep deprived, just even 24-hour sleep deprivation radically suppresses your leptin secretion. Okay, so leptin is your body's satiety hormone. So this is why when you're tired, if you're up late at night, chances are you're not kicking back watching Daredevil at 1 o'clock in the morning. You're like, I'm gonna go and grab a salad right quick. I'll be right back. Or let me go
make a kale shake.
Right. Yeah. You're gonna go grab some chips, or you're gonna grab some, you know, some ice cream or some cookies or something like that, because of the fact that, number one, leptin is down. Your satiety hormone is down. Number two, ghrelin is up. Ghrelin is your hunger hormone. And number three, and this is where it really gets really interesting, is that UC Berkeley also did some brain imaging scans for this. But bottom line is, when you're sleep deprived, just 24 hours, there's a 6% reduction in glucose reaching your brain. Right? But that's not even shared equally. 14% of that is from your prefrontal cortex. So
the decision making. Right.
Right.
The human being part that makes us so awesome and a step above just a bunch of chimpanzees.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
We
sure.
start to become more like a bonobo, you know, when we stop getting our sleep, because our brain basically become a dumber version of ourselves. All right. So our decision making goes down. It's sacrificed a lot. Our distinguishing between right and wrong, our social control to be able to stop ourselves from saying or doing the thing that we think. That bridge starts to get inhibited. And the amygdala, your amygdala is lit up. You know, UC Berkeley showed this. It is lit up. And that's a part of your brain only concerned about survival. It's not thinking about your goals, your business goals. It's thinking about survival of self, right?
Sure.
So if you've ever had a cookie in your life, if you've ever had cake, if you've ever had pie, if you've ever had chips, if you've ever had ice cream, your physiology knows that it can get a fast source of glucose to shuttle back to your brain to save you, potentially. With evolutionary biology, it matters a lot because, you know, again, a couple hundred years ago, if your brain is not as sharp, this could mean death for you.
Yeah.
Right? We lived in a very much more volatile world than our cozy living rooms today. You know, for many of us, especially the people listening, like, we're very fortunate, you know? And so this could mean you're not sharp enough to procure your food, you know, to catch that animal, to track it properly, to find shelter, to protect yourself if a rival tribes person comes into your area, you know, like, so your physiology is all about, like, I have to get this energy back to my brain to keep me sharp. So this is where we get into that place of your willpower versus your biology.
Right.
And your willpower is very, like, you can read all the books on willpower, and, you know what I'm saying? You could change your name, your first name to Will and your last name to Power, and just like, but it's not going to matter if you're sleep deprived. You understand? It's like, it's going to be short term because your biology is going to compel you to eat those cookies, you know? And it's just like, we're setting ourselves up for failure and we have no idea about it. And that's why this work is so important.
Man, what you brought up was so, so critical, because I think I even got into an argument with someone. I said, biology trumps this other stuff. Biology trumps psychology. And I know we're on the same page with that.
Yeah.
You just said it. But the guy was like, oh no, you know, if you believe that, you're creating this self-fulfilling prophecy. And he went on this philosophical explanation of how I was creating it. I was like, you know what? Stop breathing and do some meditation. See how that works out for you. Stop eating, stop sleeping, don't drink any water, use some of your psychological techniques. And what you're saying here is that you're helping us understand ourselves better, the biological wiring, why we're wired a certain way, and how our modern environment, as awesome as it is with, you know, Daredevil on Netflix, looking forward to season two, and as awesome as it is, we need to be more intentional about how we spend our time and not be these kind of robots, these modern robots that are just go to work, you know, come back, turn on the lights, the sun goes down, you know, turn on the even more lights to keep things light. Because
right.
That makes sense to do. And it does in a way, because there's stuff to do. And, you know, you're helping us make better decisions. And I love that, man. you mentioned hormones. You talked about growth hormone. You've talked about leptin, ghrelin. What about testosterone in sleep? Can you tell us anything there?
Oh, man. I mean, I briefly touched on this in the book because, and I did an entire show dedicated to this.
I need to, I'll listen to that and I'll put it in the show notes.
Awesome, man. It is powerful, man. So basically there's 10 strategies in that episode to naturally boost your testosterone production. And we need that today because of the just epidemic of estrogen dominance.
Yeah. So, you know, estrogens, phytoestrogens.
You got it, man.
And even clobbered.
Here's a little fun fact is related to sleep and what can happen. So, all right, here we go.
Let's do it.
Estrogen is really actually important for men and women, you know, so testosterone is important for women as well, not just us. But we've really broken it down and created this black or white situation. Like, that's a female hormone. This is a male hormone. It doesn't work like that. You know, definitely women have more of that and we have more testosterone, but it's the ratio, you know. And so estrogen is really important for us as men, namely for our verbal memory. We'll just start off the bat with that. Like, we can't retain information properly or understand data if estrogen is not functioning properly in our body. Wow, that's crazy, right? And so also our seminal fluid. So when you're trying to do the do, you need estrogen because it's a part of that fluid. It's actually a part of, and you know, one of the things that I cited, I actually just did a show, and by the time this comes out, it'll be published specifically on estrogen dominance as well. And so this is where it's really fresh in my mind. So I've been studying this. This is one of the biggest parts of my career, actually, is looking at the impact of estrogen. Just working in my clinic, helping so many women over the years with fibroid tumors, cancer, you know, seeing that kind of stuff. And so what's going on here is estrogen receptor sites for us are everywhere from our brain to our fat cells.
Right.
All right. So estrogen is really powerful and impactful. For women, they produce a lot more because of the ovaries produce the majority of estrogen, but also fat cells produce estrogen, and so does your adrenal glands, all right? For guys, we produce estrogen through a process called aromatization, and this is where your testosterone literally gets converted into estrogen. Careful. In particular, testosterone gets converted into estradiol, which there's three kinds of estrogen. That's a whole other story.
Another show, sure.
So it's really important to understand that our testosterone gets converted into estrogen through aromatization. And how does that happen? Well, guess what? Aromatization is mostly found, aromatase, this enzyme, in your fat cells. So the more fat you have, in particular belly fat, the more this process is going to be happening. It's why it can get out of control so quickly, because our fat cells produce estrogen as well. So we start to become like, our belly fat can become like another organ that just produces, quote, female sex hormones, all right? And women experience the same thing, all right? So we have to protect ourselves from this process. And one of the biggest ways to do that is through sleep. All right. And here's why. So sleep deprivation, number one, is going to elevate your cortisol level. All right. Cortisol is going to be much higher because it's a stressful condition for your body. Cortisol is not bad. It's supposed to be elevated in the morning and drop as the day goes on. It's important for our survival to get up and do stuff, to work out, to be assertive in the world. It's gotten a really bad name, but it's not bad. It's just when it's out of balance. So when you're sleep deprived, cortisol is automatically elevated, period, end of story. And when cortisol is elevated, because we talked about that brain drain, right? We talked about that lack of glucose getting to your brain and how that survival kicks in. If you got the willpower of that guy who's like, I could be a breatharian, you know, whatever the guy that you were talking about earlier, and he's got that rock solid willpower, which humans, we can do some amazing things, no doubt about it.
But
again, your biology is going to find a way. And so if you're deciding like, I'm still not going to eat those chips, I'm still not going to eat that, Jimmy John's, you know, I'm not going to eat that Jimmy John's sandwich. I'm not eating that Subway. You know, I don't know what's up with Jared, man. I'm not going to eat it.
Oh, yeah. Right?
So I'm not going to do any of that stuff. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to eat my kale chips and I'm straight. Here's what your body's going to do. Cortisol is elevated, and cortisol has this very interesting ability to create its own, basically create glucose in your system, even if you're not eating that stuff, through a process called gluconeogenesis. So it can break down your muscle tissue you've been working on to get those lean gains. And it can break that stuff down and turn it into glucose. And that's going to turn insulin on. And insulin is your body's number one fat-storing hormone. So boom, your sleep deprivation triggered this process to wow, to now you're storing more body fat. All right. Really that simple. All right. So sleep deprivation really works in that way as far as what's going on with the hormones, what's going on with estrogen. And then that's where that comes into the picture. Estrogen levels go up, testosterone goes down. So bottom line is sleep deprivation is a roundabout way of testosterone blocking. Okay. It's cock blocking testosterone. All right. And that might have been the first time that's ever been said, but we can put that on a t-shirt. But on the other side, the more positive way, and this is really important, is that we get secretions of testosterone throughout the day at certain times as well. And a big part of that for both men and women is when we're sleeping. And more so, optimizing in these reparative enzymes. You know, there's so many different things that I want to share. Like when I'm talking about certain things, it's like the matrix. Like there's like so many options.
You see it. I got it. Yeah. Go for it. If, I mean, you know, we both have the time, and go for it if you want. Just do what feels, share what you need to share, man. It's fine.
Cool, man. I mean, I just want to drop this real simple nugget. So we talked about how important hormones are, and I really hope that that got cemented for people to really understand hormones are the name of the game. But because it's a little bit more of a complex subject matter, but this, especially with your audience, is much more adept to this stuff. And you've heard this word before, but the chemical catalysts that enable even hormones to do their job are enzymes.
Right. Okay?
Enzymes are biochemical catalysts that enable your body to do everything that it does. All right. And hormones are chemical messengers that communicate information between the cells of your body. But enzymes need to be present. They're kind of like the key that comes over and unlocks processes. All right. So a lot of that processing, reparative enzyme mobilization in your body happens while you're asleep to repair tissues, to improve your muscle, you know, that you break down during the day if you're training, which automatically that's going to elevate your testosterone when you have more muscle tissue. You know, testosterone helps to build lean mass, and also that lean mass helps to elevate testosterone. It's like this really powerful, you know, there's so many different pieces we could talk about with this, man. But those are just a couple. Sleep relates to testosterone and estrogen and all that good stuff.
That is awesome. And Sean, I love your attention to detail when it comes to this stuff, because you break it down into the moving parts and you obviously understand it. And that's the thing that I personally look for in an expert who I want to learn from. And that's why I'm so happy to have you on the show. You're able to say, here's how the pieces fit together to make this work. Because I'm a why guy. I know you are as well.
Yes.
How is okay, but so many people are saying hows out there and don't understand the whys. It makes me really skeptical. But when, you know, when someone like you has done their homework and you've gone over all the details, well, how does that work? Oh, well, you know, there's these enzymes, and these enzymes help make things happen, and you just understand it so well. So, man, I'm learning a lot right now. It's great. And yeah, it's fascinating. So let's get into, we've talked a lot about the hormonal cascades that happen when you sleep. You've painted this picture of how sleep deprivation elevates cortisol, breaks down or can break down our muscle mass, gluconeogenesis. You end up raising insulin, storing fat, which causes more estrogen, and then boom, you know, your T levels are down, and you know, you're a bit more emotional than you should be if you're a guy, or perhaps you're getting into that estrogen dominance situation. Right. If you're a woman,
get fitted for when Seinfeld, Kramer, when he was doing the bra, the bros, he was making the man bra. You're going to get fitted for one of those. Yeah, man, I'm with you.
If you got moobs, this is critical information. Critical information. Yeah, so let's get into some strategies, man.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I think people are like, they're having their minds blown like I feel right now, right? You just understand this so well. Let's get into some strategies.
Yeah.
You said earlier that it all starts in the morning. Let's start there.
Absolutely, man. So now we're going to get into some of the hows, you know? And so like, you know, my wife is a how person. She's and my co-host calls them howies, you know? And I'm, you know, we're both the same thing. Like, I want to know how to do something, but I also want to know why it works. So
right.
We'll do that as we go along too. We'll give a little bit of the why, but so here's just some of the things to just go do. As mentioned, again, another t-shirt, and you're going to hear this. You guys heard it here first. I promise you, you're going to hear this in the popular lexicon that's out there in the world, in the interwebs and on the major media, this statement. All right. You heard it here first. A great night of sleep starts the moment that you wake up in the morning. All right. So what can we do to stack conditions in our favor that's clinically proven to help us sleep better at night? One of those is exercise. So there was a study done by Appalachian State University, and they had exercisers exercise at three different times. And they broke this up into groups, you know. So first, 7 a.m. Okay, that's group A. They worked out at 7 a.m. in the morning. Group B exercised at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. And group C exercised at 7 p.m. at night. The morning exercisers, so when people on the phase of morning exercise, they ended up, and this is a 7 a.m. group, they spent up to 75% more time in deep sleep at night. And they slept longer. And so when I'm saying deep sleep, basically they had more beneficial sleep cycles.
Right. They had better quality sleep. And I'd love to get into sleep cycles as well.
Awesome. So there you have it. So number one, they slept longer, and also they had more beneficial sleep cycles. The third thing was they had about a 25% decrease in their blood pressure at night relative to the other groups. And so that what that means is when your blood pressure is higher, you're going to have a tendency towards being sympathetic dominant. So that's your sympathetic nervous system is active, which is your, quote, fight or flight. So with that drop in blood pressure is coupled with the activation of your parasympathetic nervous system, a.k.a. your rest and digest system. And if you want to get great sleep, you want to be in rest and digest, not in fight or flight, obviously. And so just knowing that one piece of data, get some exercise in the first part of the day. I'm not saying you can't still do your training in the afternoon if that's when you train. That's all good. But you need to get some exercise, even just 5 minutes. That's what I recommend personally. 5 minutes or even 4 minutes. Do some Tabata. Do some body weight exercises. I've got a mini trampoline over here in my office. I'll jump on that bad boy. NASA says it's the best form of exercise for humans. So,
oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah.
So that really works your lymphatic system. You could do that for 5-10 minutes. Go for a quick, brisk walk. Do something, because this is getting back to evolutionary biology. What do your genes expect you to do? It expects that when the sun is up, you're active, right? So just do something to kickstart that system. Really simple. And it's going to help you to sleep better at night. You know, go figure. So get some great exercise, quick exercise in the morning at minimum. If that's the time you do work out, you do your full workout, go for it. But from my experience, and I did an experiment before I talked about this publicly in the in-depth I am now, because I've been a morning exerciser since my whole issue was fixed many years ago. It was 4 months ago for an entire year. So it ended 4 months ago. I trained in the afternoon. Just to test, can I do 5-10 minutes of training in the morning and still get gains in the afternoon? And there's a lot of benefits to working out in the afternoon too.
You know, some people say that's the best time to train because the optimal hormonal environment.
Yes, testosterone's up, like you said. Your core body temperature is higher, which makes everything just kind of flow a little bit better. You're going to also have, just statistically, there is about a 5%. Greater strength that you have in the afternoon, you know? And so, I saw all of that. Like when I started, it took a couple of weeks, but my gains happened so quickly in my numbers, my strength numbers, when I started training in the afternoon versus the morning, it was shocking to me. And so I was just like, I'm always going to do this, but you know, it just feels better in my life when I do it in the morning. So it's not going to interrupt if you do 5 minutes of like power yoga in the morning or whatever, and you train in the afternoon. So just get some time in the morning, get some exercise in. So that's one. Here is the why. That is the how. Just do that thing. This is why it works. We've talked about this several times already. This is helping to encourage a normal cortisol rhythm. Your cortisol should be elevated in the morning so they can gradually drop throughout the day. A lot of people are waking up and their cortisol is in the tank because they're what we call clinically tired and wired.
Right.
Where the cortisol is too high at night, and in the morning it's too low. So this can help to reset, jumpstart, kickstart, get your cortisol rhythm back on track.
Let me interject there for a second, because so many people, tired and wired, that's just brilliant. So if you're listening, you're talking about the guy who's, or woman, sluggish to wake up in the morning, needs like a cup or pot of coffee to get going. And then at night, you're so tired, but you lay in bed and you can't sleep. Right. So that's the tired and wired. That just, sorry, but I yes. we had no, to no. explain that a little bit more, because there are a lot of tired and wired people, I'm sure, listening to this right now.
Yeah. And you just brought up another important how that we could transition to next. And so it really, again, it just works simply by helping to reset your cortisol rhythm. And but you can trump that and screw that process up. You might do that one piece and get better sleep, because some people are like, I exercise in the morning, but my sleep still sucks. If you are, in fact, doing so many of the other things, stacking the conditions against yourself so that, you know, you are up late at night because, OK, yeah, I got the exercise in, but I also did a pot of coffee. You know what I'm saying? So here's, let's move to the next thing. Another great strategy for improving your sleep quality immediately is to give yourself a caffeine curfew. And I'm a fan of caffeine. I think it's awesome. I just actually, I'm a tea connoisseur, man. And, you know, so I've everything from Pu'er to Chuchu Huasi to Pau D'Arco to, but now today I just started to play around a little bit with white tea. And so I'm a fan of caffeine. I think it's great, but I also do know that it's a powerful nervous system stimulant. And a lot of people don't know that.
It's a drug.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
The most widely consumed drug. A lot of people say that about weed, but it's really coffee.
that first time a lot of people have that first cup of coffee, they're just like, yeah, you know, it's just like, this is a wow, like, let's go, you know. But that process starts to gradually decline, that kind of feeling that we get from that visceral response, because our receptor sites start to get dulled. And this has to do with adenosine and all this other complicated stuff.
Yeah, let's jump into that really quick, because I've heard that, like, the buildup of adenosine and working out. So if you're listening right now and you're not exercising and you have trouble sleeping, just really quick, Sean, can you talk about the adenosine thing, as long as you brought it, since you brought it up?
Okay, sure. So adenosine is, a lot of experts in the health domain, that not in our domain though, consider it a byproduct, just a metabolic waste of some sort, because it does result from a lot of processes. Your body is building up adenosine. But it's not just that, man. It's really actually important, because there are receptor sites for adenosine that when they start to get filled up, your body starts to nudge you to go to sleep.
Interesting.
Right? So that connection between the adenosine is basically from just being alive, daily activities, your body's building up more adenosine that's fitting into these receptor sites that basically make you very tired, all right? The thing about caffeine, it was so powerful and how it works, it actually, the molecules are so similar that they can fit into adenosine receptor sites, okay? And so your body can keep on building up this adenosine and you're physiologically tired, but you don't know it, you know? Or should I say, you're tired, but you physiologically, in a weird way, don't know it. I hope that makes sense. So,
right, that's really it's how not it works. Binding to the cells to give it the cells the information to end up. It's in circulation because the caffeine has blocked the action.
Yes, yeah, precisely. And this is also why, you know, when somebody can crash really hard after, you know, having a crazy amount of coffee the day before, and then they're just like so difficult because they were past tired. All right, they were like five levels past tired, and now they're feeling it all. And then they need the coffee to get them going again, you know? And so once you get caught in that vicious circle, it's pretty difficult to break. But I actually shared a story in the book of one of my celebrity clients, you know? And so I changed her name in the book, but she's just a powerhouse, like impacting the lives of so many people. And she's in the health field, you know? But she came to me, she was struggling with this caffeine issue. And she's somebody who's so about owning her life and owning her body, she just couldn't deal with it anymore. She's like, I've got to fix this. This is the one thing in my life that's controlling me and I don't like it. And so I helped her to transition and to kind of break her affair with coffee, you know, but she was able to do it. She's attempted it many times, but to do it gracefully and to come out the other side, like I just talked with her actually. It was last week, and I hadn't talked with her probably in 6 months. And she was just sharing how it's transformed her life, it's transformed her business, it's transformed her relationship. She was noticing things, and she shared even more stuff that I didn't even know about. Like, she was struggling, you know, with her, you know, communication and irritability, like with her kids. And she's like, I know that's not the person I am. And I know it's not too. Like, she is just amazing and beautiful person. But that addiction, and I called it, I called her out on it. Like, you're addicted, you know, like right. We just gotta, you know. And so it is what it is. But it's just understanding this stuff, just because you can get it at Starbucks and you don't need a prescription doesn't mean that it doesn't have some very powerful influence on our life. So just put it in its proper place. I recommend to have your caffeine intake in before noon if you plan on getting to bed, you know, somewhere around 10 p.m., 11 p.m., that sort of thing. I say that because caffeine has a half-life of about 8 hours. So that means after 8 hours, half of it is still active in your system. So if you have 200, we'll just say 300 milligram, like grande mocha latte, smoke a latte, right? 8 hours later, 150 milligrams are still active in your system, all right? Kind of lighting up your nervous system. So you can be asleep on the mattress, like you're not conscious, but you're not getting your proper sleep cycles because caffeine is clinically proven to disrupt your normal sleep cycles. Up to, like they did one study I cited, you can have caffeine right before bed, 3 hours before bed, even 6 hours before bed, and all of them have measurable impact on disrupting your sleep cycle. And in the study, people who took caffeine even 6 hours before bed lost an hour of actual sleep, even though they were unconscious for the 8 hours, right?
Right.
So there you go. Have it in the morning, you know, just give yourself a caffeine curfew. And so now people can remember, like, if you want that extra pick-me-up in the afternoon, you might want to think twice about that. And how about we just, you know, drop down, give me 20 push-ups, you know, call a friend who motivates you and, you know, have a great conversation, get the endorphins going, talk to somebody, go for a walk, you know, like, just do a little bit of visualization of something that you want to accomplish in your life. You know, like, there's so many different things that can change your state, but we lean on that because it's something a lot of people do. So there are two hows right there, man. There's 21 strategies in the book. So there you go, man.
Awesome. Yeah. Great ones at that. Let's talk about sleep cycles. You've mentioned them a couple of times. I've read a bit about it, but I think it's a fascinating area of, inquiry, because a lot of people will say, well, I slept 8 hours, but I'm still tired, or I must need more sleep. And they don't understand, like, the quality of sleep is different. And it comes back to these sleep cycles. So can you talk about that? What are sleep cycles? Man. Why are they important? And how can we hack them or ensure that we get the best sleep cycles?
Sure, sure. So, all right, for somebody with the kind of their system is working optimally, you know, and again, all of this stuff is there's variance to everything, but generally your sleep cycles last about 90 minutes, all right? And so this is going to be, and I mean, depending on which expert you talk to, there's four stages of sleep or five, depending on who you talk to. But I like to just keep it super simple because these are the main chunks is REM sleep and non-REM sleep. And then there's transitionary periods, all right? So REM sleep is rapid eye movement sleep. This is when you're dreaming. A lot of the dreaming that somebody would experience happens in this phase. This is also the phase when you're doing important processes like memory processing, where you're converting the information you're learning right now, for example, into your short-term memory. If your REM sleep is disrupted, which, by the way, alcohol does that very nicely, and this is why you don't remember stuff, you know, if you get really, you know, and you end up, you got the whole tattoo on your face, you know, like the guy on Hangover. But you got to be careful with that because it disrupts your REM sleep a lot. But, you know, again, I'm not against alcohol, you know, me and my wife, we got reservations tonight, you know, so it's the small thing. So I also talk about how to do those things a little bit smarter, but I don't want to get into that. Let's get back to the point, which is the sleep cycle. So then we've got non-REM sleep, aka deep sleep, aka anabolic city, all right? This is where the vast majority of growth and healing and development take place is during deep, rejuvenative, non-REM sleep, all right? Now, how is this really going on? Well, basically, it has a lot to do with your brain waves and them going into certain patterns to enable your body to do certain processes based on what your brain is doing. And so there's essentially four, and again, depending on who you talk to, but I'll keep it simple, there's four brainwave states. Generally, there's more to it than this, but just keep it simple. First of all, we've got beta, which that's your normal wakefulness. You know, like we're all in beta right now. unless you're like the Dalai Lama who's tuning in, which shout out to you. Thanks for listening, man. I appreciate you. Love the orange. Keep it going. But if you're not the Dalai Lama, you're probably in beta, all right? Then you've got the next phase, which is a little bit slower brainwave state that brings about different physiological processes happen when you're in theta. I'm sorry, alpha. So it's beta, alpha, then you move into theta, and then you move into delta. All right, and so in delta is more of like the deep, dreamless, anabolic, non-REM sleep that we've been talking about. And also, I want people to know too that our brain waves even change based on our age, like how often we're in stuff, you know? And I just want to throw it out there because it's cool. Kids, they spend a lot more time in theta. And during theta is when you're very impressionable, your subconscious, a lot of people who are experts in like hypnotism, they find a way to tap into that channel of your unconscious. And so this is why kids are also so impressionable and like they believe everything basically, you know, from about the age of 7 and earlier, you're in theta a lot of time. And so like Ninja Turtles are real, you know, like Princess Elsa she's living in a castle, like it's straight up real, you know. And then we get into more of the legendary lexicon, like, you know, Santa Claus, you know, and the Easter Bunny. All this stuff is like, it's so real for a child. And you got to think about how impressionable your mind can get and how like there's this really interesting stage in and before and right as you're moving into deep sleep and when you're moving out of it is like an ideal time for meditation and visualization because you're kind of getting into that subconscious. But you know, again, dude, we could talk a whole show just about this, but it's just a really powerful kind of fun fact that if you can find ways to get more into that state, you can start to change a lot of your thinking. All right, so beta, alpha, theta, delta. And the earlier three stages besides delta are kind of what cycle in and out of the non-REM sleep. So, and your brain is doing that through these sleep cycles, which are about 90 minutes again. So what I recommend is at no point ever in the book do I say you need to get blank hours of sleep. You know, you need to get cookie cutter. You need to get eight. Get right. Your eight and you're great. You know, it doesn't work that way because there are people who sleep for 9-10 hours a day and they're waking up feeling tired and wrecked all day. And they also have to take a nap because they're so tired. It's the quality of sleep you get. So I've got people who are sleeping smarter for 6 hours and they have radically higher energy levels and better gains in their physical appearance or strength than people who are sleeping for 9 hours because their sleep quality is a wreck because they're not cycling through their normal sleep cycles properly. And so since it's 90 minutes, 4 of those complete cycles at 6 hours. I do recommend that as kind of the bare bones minimum. Like you should probably target 6 hours to be really solid. 6 great hours though, right? Of sleeping smarter. Right.
Not with caffeine or alcohol or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you got it, man. And so then if you want to take it to the next step, sleep cycle would be 7.5 hours, then 9 hours. And here's why I'm bringing this up is that you might get pretty great sleep, but still wake up feeling groggy if your alarm goes off in the middle of one of your sleep cycles, all right? When you're in one of the stages that, like if you're in non-REM sleep, for example, and your alarm goes off, it's very difficult to kind of pull you out of that.
That feeling, man. Yeah. It's like, no!
It's not that you're physiologically not recovered. It's just that you were in another sleep stage. Another sleep cycle. And so I like to tell people, hey, you might want to time your sleep a little bit differently. Instead of like cookie cutter 8 hours or whatever it is, maybe try and line it up with your sleep cycle. See if that works for you to feel a little bit more energetic when you wake up. So I hope that gives you a really great understanding of the sleep cycles and stuff that goes along with that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's important. And I asked you specifically about this because I want people to understand if you take nothing away from the alpha, theta, but the four stages.
Beta, alpha, theta, delta. I even messed it up, man.
Yeah. If you take nothing else away from this, understand that the quality of your sleep matters. And Sean just said that he's getting people who are feeling better after 6 hours of sleep because he's set up the quality better than the people who sleep longer and have poor quality sleep for whatever reason. So let's talk about maybe Sleep Sanctuary.
Let's talk about...
You had something?
Yeah, because we brought up Daredevil a couple times, man.
Okay, so great.
Let's wrap it with this one, because this is also the most challenging. And so I really front load the book with a lot of low-hanging fruit, you know, so things that are pretty easy to implement and things that can get some really great results. But there's one that I took some extra time to break down how powerful it is and how we can change it. And this is our relationship with our tech, right?
Right.
I love my MacBook. I love my iPhone.
Love it.
They're phenomenal, you know, and they've enabled me to literally, like, this book was written on a Mac desktop, you know. And so I absolutely appreciate the time that we live in. However, we have to, again, understand mutations or evolution takes a long time. I'm talking thousands of years. And so we can evolve and be able to possibly adapt from the exposure, but right now we can't, and it sucks. And so here's the bottom line. What the research has found, so Harvard researchers actually, you know, this is one of the things I cited in the book, but there's so many different studies, but they found that blue light exposure, let's just start with the foundational thing. So these Harvard researchers found that light exposure at night does in fact suppress your melatonin secretion, okay? So melatonin is the hormone that, again, if you're not producing it, you can be passed out unconscious, but you're not going to get into the deep anabolic stages of sleep and cycle through your sleep cycles normally if your melatonin is not elevated, all right? So that's what they found out. This pretty much everybody knows that. What they also discovered was that not all light has the same impact on the body. They found that blue light was twice as basically degrading or twice as powerful suppressing your melatonin and disrupting your sleep cycle as green light, all right? So blue light was twice as strong. And they also found that red light had the least impact on your sleep cycles, all right? And so that, what is that color? It's kind of more like fire, you know, like campfire, you know, like, again, that color that we evolved having at night. And some people might think like red means hot, doesn't it? No, actually, if you look at the Kelvin scale, it's a cooler color, you know, and physiologically it helps to cool your system down. So it's the blue light that most emulates sunlight to our senses, to our cells, to our optical receptors, to our DNA, all right? And so that blue light exposure is telling your system and telling your organs to produce more daytime hormones, period. That's just how it works. So you automatically, you're going to increase more your cortisol level. If you're staring into your iPhone while you're on Instagram, you know, 11 o'clock at night, your cortisol is high. It is what it is. And it can take hours for it to come back to normal. So now that's kind of like tough to chew on for a lot of people. Like, I don't know, man. I mean, you know, a lot of people, and I know this, I've done it. But the last thing they do before they lay their head down mm-hmm. is they say goodnight to their phone. Like, they click the off button and sit it right next to their pillow, right? This is their intimate partner right here, you know? And so for a lot of people, it's going to be difficult for them to, like, you know what? I can do all this other stuff. I can't do that one. I didn't say don't do it, all right? Matter of fact, there are hacks that can help you to do that and do it smarter. But again, if you want to play at a high level, you want to be the greatest version of yourself, you want to give your body the best shot at, you know, being a fat burning piece of artwork, you know, and just your brain to work at its optimal level, you need to do this. And that's to give yourself a screen curfew. And I recommend 90 minutes, you know, 90 minutes before going to bed, because it's funny, man. We get ready to go out on a date. We get ready for our day. We get ready to eat, but we don't get ready for bed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no ritual, there's no routine. And so we just kind of stumble into it. And a lot of us just kind of pass out from exhaustion. Or we're like, you know, we're on our iPhone or watching TV. It's like, I really should get to bed, you know? And so it's having that ritual, but also allowing melatonin to get produced by getting off of our devices and allowing our bodies to shift gears and to produce the optimal hormone. So some people, that's going to be tough. For other people, that are like, and I'm calling out to you. If you've been struggling with getting the results you want, if you've been struggling with, you know, pre-diabetes, with getting the weight off, with heart disease, whatever it is, if you're on medications right now, you need to listen to this. You really need to put this in play for yourself. This is the place where I would start to say, hey, this is something you really need to do. And I don't like to get into those kind of situations, but if somebody is dealing with something they're struggling with, this is something you need to pay attention to. All right, so I laid it out there. Now here's the why. Why is this so hard? Because I did a talk for U.S. bank employees, their corporate employees, and everything was great, man. We're all having a good time. We're laughing. They're learning a lot of stuff. I was there for performance, and of course, sleep is a part of that. And when I got to the part talking about the devices, I'm like, all right, guys, 90-minute curfew. What else can you do instead? And the room went silent. Like, it's like all these adult human beings are looking around like, does anybody, I don't know, you know, like, what can we do? And then somebody shyly put her hand up on one side of the room, and she was like, and she said this as a question, not a statement. She said, read a book?
Oh.
Like, I'm like, yes, you can read a book, you know? And then another lady that got the courage on the other side of the room, and she put her hand up. She was like, talk to your spouse? I was like, yes, you can talk to an actual person, you know? But there's a lot of things we could fill that with. But here's the thing, man. If I say, no Instagram, you know, read Moby Dick, that's a problem. Like, I mean, I got to be kidding myself if I think you're going to do that or if I'm going to do that, you know? But shout out to the movie Moby Dick. I think maybe it was good with the guy that plays Thor. Shout out to that. but anyways, it's just understanding, hey, we've got this really important foundational thing or fundamental thing our body's trying to accomplish. And we're blunting that by being on our device. And here's why. Let me share this. This is so crazy and cool. Dopamine, right? We, for a long time, many years, health experts thought that dopamine was about satisfaction and desire and just
reward.
Like, yes, but it's not. Dopamine is about seeking. It's this very interesting, powerful compound that makes you seek, right? And the internet is perfect for seeking, right? So once you get on Instagram, I mean, I can just keep going, right? Or Facebook, just keep scrolling. Twitter, keep going. Google, like I can, and everybody's had this happen where it is like, you know what? You know, just thinking to themselves, I'll just check Twitter for a minute, or I'll just check Instagram for a minute, and then like 30 minutes later, you're still on there. It's like, what happened to my life?
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland just happened, bro. You know, like you got sucked into the internet black hole, and it's because of that dopamine. And here's the other part, because it's about seeking, but if you don't find, you will stop. The internet is perfect for finding, because every time you look, you find.
Yep.
You scroll to the next thing, I seek, find, I seek, I find, I seek, I find. And you get a little opioid hit. So we're talking about like a slow drip of morphine, mm-hmm. all right?
Yeah.
Which is very tasty to your physiology. And you become addicted, just like that. That's how it works, man. And so I'm not saying that these things aren't valuable in our life. I think they're awesome. But it's taking back control of your physiology, taking back control of your brain and becoming a sovereign individual and understanding I'm not going to be some toy. I'm not going to be a robot. Just
don't be an animal. Yeah. Be a human being. Don't let your, of course I want more coffee and then I want more, you know, internet and then Facebook and then, right. Yeah. Take control. I love it. Be a sovereign human being. I love that, Sean. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Take back control. That's what this is about. And unfortunately, guys like you and I are out there sharing it, and a lot of other cool people too, a lot of our friends, mutual friends and mutual acquaintances, but not a lot of messages out there. You should be on the Today Show. You should be on CNN, Fox News, all those channels. You should be on CNBC helping those financial guys. I saw this guy being interviewed on CNBC because one of my clients watches that in the morning while we train. Story for another time. But the guy just looked horrible. And you could tell his dark circles underneath his eyes. You could tell he's had a pot of coffee to get on, you know. And man, you know, thank you so much for bringing this information. Sean, you're a rock star. I look up to you as a mentor, and thank you so much for coming on today and sharing what you know about sleep. You've just clearly taken things to the next level. So where can they find this book? Because even though I have this beautiful copy right in front of me, it's for pre-order right now as of March 4th, I believe. So
this is going to come out when it's available, though.
Okay, sure.
So, right? March 15th.
Yes.
So that
whatever you want, Sean, we are doing for you.
So this is going to be coming out when the book is actually available nationwide. So you can go to, you know, your local Barnes & Noble and pick up a copy. But I'll just tell you right now, it's probably going to be sold out pretty quickly in the local bookstore. So if you happen to go there and they don't have it, just request it. Just let them know that we want it back in the store. Of course, my publisher will make sure that more books come. But of course, you can pick it up at the usual places, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or SleepSmarterBook.com is where our house is at for the book. And also, we've got the bonuses there along with the book. So if you do purchase a copy, you're going to get some really cool stuff. I'm not even going to say what the things are, but they're not some random free PDF that's like teaches you how to tie a knot, you know, like some stuff that's totally irrelevant. It's going to have a lot to do and contribute. I like to give tangible things, like not just a PDF, but something you can physically touch as well. You know, maybe it's food, maybe it's supplements. I'm not going to tell you, but we've got some really cool bonuses at sleepsmarterbook.com when people grab a copy of the book. And I appreciate you so much, man. I do want to throw one more piece out there really quickly, which is because Daredevil, I just got onto it. I think it's a fantastic show. And I had no idea, man. You know, like I've been on the move just building this experience for people with Sleep Smarter. And so one of the things, if, you know, I have kids, you know, and so that's another excuse tends to be for a lot of people as to why we can't do things. And so I structure my life so that I love my family and spending time with them. And sometimes, you know, if I do want to kick back and watch a movie with my wife, we've got hacks that we can use. We've got these really cool glasses that literally block out blue light. And so when you put these bad boys on and I put a device in front of your face, you'll just see blue light on the lenses because that blue light doesn't penetrate and make it through. And so I actually talk about that in the book, and there's a resource guide and all that stuff because there are a lot of different brands out there. There are some you can get right. for $5. There's some you can get for $150, but which ones actually work? And also for our devices, everybody should download the app Flux, F.LUX, on your device immediately. So on your desktop, if you got Windows, whatever it is, you can get those on your devices. There are some for the phone that are more a little bit more sketchy. I'm still experimenting to find the optimal one. I'm going to put that in the resource guide too. But for your MacBook, for your laptop, for your desktop, F.LUX. And what that does is it cools off your screen. It pulls out that most troublesome spectrum of light automatically when the sun goes down in your area based on your time zone. And it automatically put it right back in the morning, right? And so you could still do your work, do your thing, and you're not going to get as great a suppression of melatonin. So more value, all that kind of stuff is in the book. So I highly recommend you pick up a copy and pick up a copy for somebody you care about. Especially if you're in a relationship, you better get two copies because when two people get on the same page with this sleep thing, and also, you know, I just did an episode talking about how sleep impacts our relationships, and it can be really powerful and transformative when two people get together on the same thing. And so I appreciate it so much, man. I hope that I added a lot of value with that extra nugget, man. So thanks so much for having me on, bro. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Sean, you're a rock star. We love you, man. And just incredible to catch up and see what you're up to. And thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and most importantly, your time.
Thank you so much, bro. Anytime, man. Anytime.